You're listening to Creative Thursday, episode number 169. Welcome to Creative Thursday with Marisa Ann Cummings. We're talking all things life, business, and creativity intended to inspire and empower you wherever you are on your creative journey, both personally and professionally. Thank you for listening. Hi, hello, it's Marisa here, and today I want to talk to you about a delicate topic, a trendy topic, dare we say, a topic that I don't have a particular list of notes for you, but I want to have a conversation with you. And I've titled this episode, Is It Safe to Be Vulnerable? Not because I'm going to present to you the answer to that, but because I am genuinely asking you, how do you feel? Is it really safe to be vulnerable? Oh my goodness. It's funny, but not funny. I had to pause for a second because if you're a regular listener, you'll know that many times I will look up the definition of certain terms just to see, are we actually using it the way it was intended? Not that we need to, by all means, but the definition of vulnerable is pretty, I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, anyone? Pretty vulnerable. A little shout out to Larry David. I'm going to pause for just a second because I also want to, within this episode, I want to give a quick shout out to Angela and say thank you so much for a recent review that she left, which honestly, in line with being vulnerable, I feel as if I've shared a little bit more vulnerability, according to my definition of that, which I will get to in a moment. In the last couple of episodes, I've been leaning a little bit more towards mindset, and I appreciate hearing from you and knowing that it's making a difference because, to be honest, these are some of my favorite conversations, some of my favorite topics. So when I get a note from Angela and I got a beautiful note from Roberta, thank you so much. And then I got a review from Angela where she said, love, love, love Marisa. Thank you, Angela. So sweet. That's so kind of you. I have enjoyed the podcast so much. I feel like Marisa is speaking to me personally. Great, useful information, and she keeps it real. I love her so much. XOXOXO. Thank you again, Angela. Getting a review like this, as I've shared so many times, truly, it means a great deal to me because, in particular, and related to this topic, I am the most vulnerable publicly on this podcast. And, you know, it takes a minute always to press record and to share how I really feel about things. And so when you take a moment and you acknowledge and let me know, you acknowledge what I'm doing here and you let me know that the way I intend for the podcast to come through or be interpreted or be received, really is a better way to say it, is actually happening. I am incredibly thankful. And to know that it feels real to you, to know that it feels like I'm personally speaking to you, this is all, it's just really meaningful for me to hear. So thank you. And if you feel the same, please don't hesitate to let me know. Because one of the reasons that I feel safer on the podcast, we're going to weave back into this conversation we're having today. One of the reasons I feel safer is because I don't really look at metrics every day. I think I've shared with you, I can see that my numbers are growing. I can see how many downloads there are per episode and how many downloads there are overall. But unless someone leaves me a positive review or writes to me on Instagram, I don't know. Which is it's not really a negative at all. It's sort of allows me this opportunity to express in a way. Maybe that's why it feels so pure to me, because there isn't any particular way of getting feedback like there is on Instagram or Facebook, where you can get likes and people can leave you comments that are visible for others to read. Granted, a review is as well, but it's a little bit more immediate response to what you're posting. And simultaneously, because of algorithms, no big deal, totally gotten used to them at this point. And I really also appreciate Facebook ads when they are working. It's great. Just all is what it is. That's not what today's conversation is. But being someone who's been in the online space for quite some time and remembers when there weren't algorithms and you had instant feedback. I mean, instant feedback. When you would post in the early days of Instagram, you would know right away if it felt like something that was really speaking to someone. Or even better than that for me was when I was blogging, same thing. Just, it was such a great gauge of if the message I was sharing was really speaking to you. So it's a little bit mixed in that that is invaluable. Again, that's why I'm always saying thank you so much for the reviews, or just dropping me a note and letting me know that this has made a difference for you. It's invaluable. And also, though, in a time where there's just so much noise, I kind of appreciate not always knowing. Putting the episode up and then just walking away, hoping that it's done what I intended for it to do, is liberating. And it's given me a sense of freedom to share here. And really, I've always shared this way on my podcast and when I was blogging. I always felt this way. But I started to feel a little bit more guarded on Instagram and guarded on Facebook. Not entirely sure why. I'll be exploring it more, but I came back to podcasting, and as you know, I've put a consistent amount of energy here and have shared often, because it really, it's the medium that speaks to me. It speaks to me and my favorite way of sharing. I truly enjoy a good, thoughtful, real, genuine conversation with someone. And I know this is a bit one-sided. It's just sort of is how it is at the moment, unless I have a guest. But it does feel like, Angela, to your point, it does feel like I'm talking to you, because I am very often thinking of you. And I am also putting a voice to experiences that I have as a creative in the online space, in particular an artist. And I share it because it's more common than you think. So if it feels like I'm speaking to you, that is because many of us go through the same experiences. And that's where I've shared this before. You know, for me personally too, when I listen to my favorite podcasters, there's great comfort in hearing their story of how they made it through a time, or they came to terms with, or, you know, made it through a transformation, or just made peace with some of these feelings that come up for any and all of us who are actually brave enough to come out and speak and be vulnerable. We'll call it vulnerable right now, but I don't know if this really applies after reading the definition, which I am coming to in just a moment. Anyone who is sharing a voice somewhere, yeah, it's big, it's brave. And we feel delicate maybe sometimes. And that is often because we are talking about delicate topics. Topics that we didn't once talk about. So before I give you the definition, let me just share with you my background and also what has me thinking about this topic in this way, and also share a little bit about a recent conversation I had with a friend that really inspired me to ask a question in this podcast, because I've truly been contemplating, I've wanted to record a version of this, and as you know, it's really important to me that I record it from a healthy place and not a very egoic place, or I don't know. You know, I don't want to have a chip on my shoulder when I'm recording this. It's more intended to have a dialogue about it. And I feel pretty good. I feel ready to share on this topic. And part of that was inspired by a recent conversation with a friend. But my background quickly is, you know, my dad was of an entirely different generation. He was American. Born in 1917. Yeah, you can do the math. You can do the math on that. He may be older than some of your grandparents. And my mom is German and was a child in World War II. And prior generations, very private. We weren't talking about things the way that we're talking about them today. Not even like we are in the past few years, in the past 5 years, 3 years, 10 years. Incredible. The degree to which we are having very open and, for right now, we'll call them vulnerable dialogue about sexuality, about mental illness, about divorce, about what it really takes to run a business, what it takes to be a parent. I mean, all kinds of different topics. We're diving much deeper into them, which I personally really am so thankful for, because the other side of my family is that I was an only child. So I was the only child in an adult dynamics. I was the only witness to those dynamics. I didn't have a sibling. I didn't have anyone to share that experience with me. And without sharing, you know, not intending to cross any personal boundaries for my parents, they did not have the easiest, calmest relationship at all. They split up a number of times. They ultimately never got divorced, but separated more than once, which meant that I also moved in and out of my home, well, our home together several times. And the reason that I share that is that nobody really knew what was going on except me. They didn't talk to their friends per se that I'm aware of. Everything was very private. And I have the utmost of respect for that. That's why that's all that I'm going to say about it. But I think through that experience and feeling like a lot of people didn't really know what was going on and how much stress there was in the relationship, or stress maybe for me, you know, that things got glossed over. And I'm not saying that that isn't a way of living, you know. You don't have to hammer difficult times into the ground. However, what that did to me is I came out feeling like I really don't want to carry the weight of, I won't even say secrets, but too much privacy, or just carry the weight of people's issues. I feel like, let's talk about our issues. And okay, let me pause for a second. Let's talk about our issues with people who can be trusted, with professionals if need be, you know, within a space that feels healthy for us before we share it publicly. That's kind of my feeling on that right now. I don't necessarily think that turning on a mic or a video and going into all of that with people who don't have any connection with you or complete strangers, I don't know that I lean towards that level of vulnerability. With that said, you know, you can do whatever you want. And that's part of the discussion. That's what I want to know from you. I really would love to know how you feel about this, because we are at a time where vulnerability and let's just say exposing your underbelly is very popular. And certainly that got started with reality TV. Come on, guys. You know it had to. And then it continued on with social media. And you know, reality TV is edited and sometimes scripted, right? Right? Okay. Yeah. People naturally are fed by drama. and or human beings are. And, you know, so it's an easy sell. It's an easy sell. And I'm going to come back around to that. That's my feeling anyway. So coming out of a different generation, different culture, I would say not to ever, you know, put everyone under one umbrella, but the tendency for Germany's and Europe in general is very private. Very private. You know, it's not as common, at least in prior generations. I'm not really hanging out with a super, well, I guess I've hung out with a few younger generation in my own family. They're not doing any of this work, so they're not really online. But I think the tendency, the overall vibe is to be private and keep it to yourself. Well, yes. And you can imagine all the reasons why. And that is still, you know, a segment of the world that is pulling itself out of what was a horrible, horrible experience with much secrecy and dishonesty and just god-awfulness, okay? We'll just leave it there. But you can imagine that coming into the world with parents that were more private, dealing with all of our personal issues just for ourselves, but for me in particular, not feeling like I had anyone, I kind of came out like I started to say, feeling like I'm just going to express what I want to express. And it's too much work for me to be constantly keeping everything buttoned up. To me, that feels a lot harder than just being honest, because without going into all of the details, when my dad passed, there seemed to be a lot of confusion about his life, different things going on, and I felt like that wouldn't necessarily be the case if there was more honesty overall. And I've had conversations in later years with close friends of the family, and they had no idea different things that were happening, even during the time after and during his, when he passed. It just, again, let me say that this is, it is private. It is also partly my story, so I'm starting to share some of it, because the more I interact with people and actually have deeper conversations, the more I realize, wow, I actually did go through quite a lot. As blessed and as appreciative as I am, and I felt very loved by both my parents, I'm so thankful for that. I also experienced a lot that a kid so young should not experience so early, ideally. And it's all fine. I'm here. I made it. I'm making it through. But there are a lot of people, which is wonderful to know, who feel like they had idyllic childhoods and everything was great. And that's incredible to me, because I've always thought nobody does. Nobody has that. But apparently they do. And that is wonderful. So you might not come into the world like me and say, look, I'm not going to hold everybody's secrets. I'm not going to keep everything buttoned up. And simultaneously, though, because I was brought up to be a little bit more buttoned up, I don't know if I really let people in that much. I think I do err on the side of being protective. But when I trust someone and I let my guard down, I open up to them, because it's fair to say, I thought about putting this, I may have even put it in my bio for a week. I don't do small talk, guys. I can't stand it. Really, it's gotten to a point where I can do it. Don't be afraid to invite me to your party if I come. Life is too short. I'm at a stage of life and age where I'm just bored with that. And, you know, at the same time, trust me when I say, I hope this is making sense to you, I don't believe in fire hosing someone with all of your personal deepest, darkest everything. I don't believe in that either. So there is a fine line. All right, there's a little bit of my background and how I've come to be someone who I think it's more transparent, really, than vulnerable. I really lean towards being transparent. And I've said a million times, you can go back to my old blog posts. I'm still only always sharing with you what I want to share. Believe me, I know you're not asking me to, and I don't feel like it's my right to divulge every bit of my personal life with you. The only person who really gets that is Sean. And simultaneously, I also think there are probably a lot of marriages and couples where those people don't even get the real person. I don't exactly know how that goes down, but if you live with me, if you've been my roommate, then you pretty much get the essence of me. And then Sean has been the person who has been with me in my life the longest and lived with me the longest. And so we've kind of been to a lot of the dark places with each other and made it through. And to me, that is also what strengthens a relationship and a friendship. But it does require a certain kind of person that can really be okay with themselves going there and also have compassion and have unconditional love for their partner or a very close friend or family member going there as well. So let's pause for a moment on the background and say, here's the definition of vulnerable: capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. Number two, that sounds awful, by the way. Open to attack or damage, also worse, sounds worse. And the other one doesn't really make sense. It's, yeah, not related to what we're talking about. So I can see from reading this that originally this definition was intended to, I often think of in the animal kingdom, if an animal is vulnerable, they are, you know, when a dog submits and lays down and makes the underbelly, their stomach open, they are very vulnerable because you can, all your insides can be cut and that's it. That's also why, by the way, just on a yoga note, I find this so interesting. When you do back bends, people can get very uncomfortable. Human beings can, because you're exposing everything that is your most vulnerable physical area without protection. It's why we probably tend to lean more forward or hunch over, is a form of protection. Just a side note. So this definition is not really what I'm thinking in my mind, but at the same time, when I read it, I go, oh, I think this is why I want to have this conversation. I believe, and don't hold me to this, but it seems like when Brené Brown started talking about vulnerability and, you know, the courage and the strength, and then Oprah really grabbed hold of that. I think this is when she still had her show on, and it was all about being vulnerable. And I do believe actually it takes a lot of strength to do so graciously. I think it's always brave to share, no matter how you do it, for sure. Absolutely brave. But the reason that I'm saying, so now let me weave into the reason I'm saying, is it safe to be vulnerable? So I've subscribed to the idea of honesty and transparency. I have my whole life, and I have also been observing now this far into my life, where I see patterns happening. And I believed that if I got to know someone and I was friends with someone, that it made sense to be vulnerable sooner rather than later, not wait a long time, because I felt my theory was I'll know pretty quick if someone can hang with me in the realness of life. Okay. Life is real, guys. It is real. And it's many notes. It's not just one note. As much as we like to see it like that and we love to experience it, it's not meant to be. It's actually beautiful in all of the notes. But it frustrates me that people just continually want to highlight one, and then everyone's running around feeling incredibly disconnected because they think they're not living that way all the time. And gosh, that's a conversation. That's a continuing conversation. So I believe in getting real with people faster maybe than most, because my feeling was, well, let's get to it right away if they can hang or not. And what I've realized though in reading that definition is I had some friendships recently where I made myself vulnerable. And even within a trusted you know, friendship of one or a small group friendship. Even in when it comes to people who are in your work, this is also a different, this is a different area. Someone who might be on some level competition with you. I've come to realize that I don't think that it is okay or safe to be vulnerable. I don't think that people are always ready for it. And I also think that as much as we want to say that vulnerability is a sign of strength, I personally think it is, I think people still see you as weak and wounded, and that they may take it as an opportunity to, I don't know that this would be intentional, I hope not, wound you further or use that opportunity to reject you when you are feeling the most vulnerable. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but that really speaks to the definition, right? That's rough. When someone opens up to you and maybe your life at the time is going swimmingly well, and you decide that, I don't even know what you decide, but you decide to cut loose of that friendship or that business collaboration or whatever, that's tough for the person who may not be feeling 100%. That's really, really, it can feel very painful. And simultaneously, let's just flip the other side of that. You know, we all know what it's like to have people feel like they might be dumping, that's a fair word, too much emotional baggage on you. And you might not be in a place where you want to take that on. In fact, I think we are all learning that to be healthy means that you're not dumping your garbage on someone else or all your emotional, and not that your emotions are garbage, but sometimes drama is garbage. I'll just be honest. There are ways of sharing. That's why I often use the word gracious. There are ways of sharing, even within a very close relationship, that I believe are healthier. So one of the things that I do at this stage is I actually ask people if they're okay with me being vulnerable. And I give them a heads up. And then most people will say yes, because we're also not taught to really be honest, I think, in certain ways. We haven't learned how to communicate. We're just learning how to communicate in a way that's very helpful. I think so many of us are tuning into, I've mentioned her before, Nicole LaPera, the holistic psychologist. It's like, thank you, Nicole. She gives examples of how to be healthy, where you might not be as healthy with your boundaries where you are, how to communicate in a healthy way. And it's really worth being very thoughtful about this. So my, you know, when I'm saying enter the world, like became my own person as my own adult and decided I was calling the shots on how much of my life I was going to share at any given time, I did my best to be conscientious about this. And by far, I try even more to be conscientious about this now. I get it. And sometimes people aren't up for that. Or, you know, again, just prefacing what I'm about to say with, does this feel like an okay time or an okay thing for me to share? And then there's also truly a gift, and that is what I'm so thankful to have with Sean, where you can really just be, sort of for lack of better terms, the ugliest, darkest version of yourself. That's so hard to use that word, because is your shadow side really ugly? I probably shouldn't even put that together, but that's how we think of it. I wonder if we'll get to a place where we realize that the shadow side is just also part of us working through being human. But even if I go to a dark place, I will say to him, okay, I'm going to a dark place. I just have to vent this out loud, and don't take me seriously. You know those moments where some people really do that well in a journal, which is perfect because nobody has to hear it. You just see it. I am better it helps me to vocalize something. And that can also be what has, you know, maybe I've crossed boundaries with people where I felt like I could vocalize something that maybe I really couldn't. Maybe they weren't really comfortable with that. So I brought this up to my friend recently, and we were having a conversation, and she was also of the philosophy, you know, when I would be more open and get hurt or rejected by friends early on in my life, my mom would often remind me not to tell them things. Don't tell them things. Sort of what I remember. And, you know, I think I also then ended up feeling a little bit of shame about what I would share or who I was in terms of being open, which weaves me all the way back to when I do share something thoughtfully here, because I know it's going out to people I don't know. Hello, I might be meeting you for the first time. Thank you for listening. This is a deeper episode to be meeting me for the first time on. I know, I'm aware this is going out publicly, and you know, I try to take a lot of care with that, but when I do hear from you that it means so much and that it spoke to you, then like I said, I know that I'm doing something right in terms of connecting, because I do feel that we connect the deepest and it's the most meaningful when we really are willing to let our guard down. And I think that as a human population, we are getting better about that. I think we're able to receive more personal information, more vulnerable information. We are able to hold the space for people who are feeling weak, whether it's their health, their mental health, their confidence, anything. I think we're getting better at that. I think there was a time where we couldn't at all and nobody spoke at all about any of these pains. And that is really painful to imagine, because you're not alone. And that's where so many people feel like they are alone, because everyone's just putting on a front. So the front is coming down, and there's been a backlash of, do we need to see people crying on social media? I'm not even really going to address that, because I think it's just very personal choice. It's a personal choice what you choose to consume, how you choose to share. What I will say, though, is that a lot of times what I've come to find from meeting people in person who share like that on social media is they are not the same in person. So there is a barrier of strangers, knowing that it's going out to strangers that I even just openly admitted to you on the podcast, knowing that this is going out and I don't necessarily see you for some reason makes it feel okay to be more open here. Simultaneously, when I see it on video or I see people really, and I've done this, oh my gosh, I cannot be a hypocrite. I did go through a pretty personal fertility journey on my Periscope, and it was one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And I still really tried to be thoughtful about it, even in the midst of it. And I am saying by not just, I'm not comfortable, and I do feel that it's sometimes gratuitous to just be full on emotion. I think that's a lot for people to process, especially if they don't know you, especially if they're just coming to meet you. That's just my feeling. I might change my mind, but when I do share something more personal, you might feel emotion for me, but it will still mostly be sort of contained. And when I've met people who can be very emotional, very real, very raw on social media, but they're very guarded in person, that makes me not trust that person. My feeling is this. Basically, you're the same. If you sat at a dinner table, I had a dinner party, and you had people that you were frustrated with, people who have hurt you or you've hurt them, people you're close with, just imagine a lot of people who've affected you in your life and vice versa, people you care about, that essentially the stories among the people would be the same, that you wouldn't be one person to this person and then turn your back literally and be someone entirely different to this person. why that matters to me, I don't know, but it always has. It's called integrity. It's staying true to your word. It just matters. I have not always been the kindest. I have not always been the fairest. I have gossiped, but I have also been honest with people directly, and I have made sure that the loops get closed in a way where if someone came to me that the stories would match. Am I making any sense? So I have given a lot of thought to this because at the end of the day, and this is my current decision, I don't think it is safe to be vulnerable unless you are ready and okay with just people dropping out of your life and you know, openly judging you. And also maybe using it against you competitively. Gosh, I hate to even say these things, but you know, not all human beings, as lovely as they can present themselves, are consistent in who they are. In having a conversation with my friend, she leans more towards the direction that if people don't think they can get something from you, they're out of your life. And that is really creepy for me to think about. And, you know, I know that that's a common belief, that people are really out for themselves. And in that case, then no, it's not safe to be vulnerable. So my feeling, I shouldn't say that it's not safe to be vulnerable. I should say people aren't going to get my vulnerability in the way that they used to, partly because I felt burned a few times. Even at this stage of my life, I felt very burned. And I've shared with you, I'm also working on my own perspective. Like, I can absolutely be projecting and misinterpreting based on past hurts. I think that we can all do that, but I've really given it a lot of thought. And as I've shared with you, I'm doing a lot of work on mindset and healing of past traumas, and I'm going there. I'm doing the work. So that also gives me pause to say, you know, sometimes people just aren't operating from their best selves. And you typically can feel that instinctively, even though it feels bad to recognize it. It does, because you don't always want to feel that way about someone that you really looked up to or you really like, and it's disheartening. So again, for the record, as I'm sure you know, I 100% do not have this down, have absolutely over the years behaved in ways that I could have done a lot better. I have not been as gracious as I would like to be. And simultaneously, though, I have also always been a person that's tried very much not to hurt someone, or, you know, I've definitely walked away from friendships but tried to let people know or been open to having a conversation as to why. And just, I don't like to ghost people. And you know, I also do understand that there are times where things just naturally quiet down and you don't have to have a big conversation about it. And I get the whole saying, right? Some people come into your life for a day. What is it? Some people come into your life for a season. Some people come into your life for a lifetime. Sometimes you have moments where you're deeply connected and you pull apart and then you come back around. All of that, just for the record, it's the dynamic of human beings. But I thought, in hindsight, weaving this into, what does this have to do with business, Marisa? Weaving this into business, it is unfortunate to me that you do have to be more cautious than open when it comes to business. And I could even be biting myself in the butt right now by recording a podcast like this. But for some reason, this still feels okay for me. And as I've said many times, I've just been working my way into it. I'm getting ready to be particularly vulnerable again around my personal journey, related to fertility, how I feel that has influenced my life over this past decade. Quite honestly, it's been a very long journey. And I'm ready to go there and open up about it, but I am very clear the reason why. I had this epiphany which told me it's time. My epiphany was, you can also be a little too self-conscious. You know, you can be a little too self-conscious about how you're going to be received and a little too worried, which I've absolutely had this issue where I've still been worried about what someone will think. Now that I've shared a little of my background, you can see why, because we weren't saying anything because we're worried about what people will think. And, you know, or we're not being fully open because people are going to have opinions and they're going to judge. And that's always going to happen. Even with the best of intentions, always going to happen. And I've had to feel ready for what will be a hot button topic, I know. And then the epiphany was this, but if I can help someone going through some of the medical issues that I've had, if I can help someone have more strength who's on this journey, oh my God, then it's worth everything. It's worth everything. So it's really getting me and my sensitivities out of the way to be willing to share something that will help you. And that is, you know, that is my overall view and appreciation for all in whatever format they choose is best for them, who are willing to share, because it has given so much voice and bravery and opportunity for others to heal. And so in that regard, it is absolutely worth being vulnerable. Did I just totally contradict myself all within the same episode? I think I did. So maybe what I am saying, and this is a conversation, this is a dialogue, I told you I would not have a particular answer, but where I currently stand today, my feeling is that in business and with colleagues, you are wise to protect yourself. Oh, but wait, can I add one big but? Except in my group, in the Expansive Artists, I want my community to feel safe. I want my members to feel as if they can be open about their struggles and their challenges without that chipping away at their confidence or their talent or their ability. I do believe we've got to have space for that. And it's a private community. And yes, it's growing and it's still fairly intimate community right now. I know it might feel different later on, but I've really got to emphasize that that's so important to me. And maybe you will know why based upon what I've shared with you here. I know a number of my Expansive Artists listen to the podcast regularly. A big shout out to you and thank you. And you'll know a little bit more about me and why I feel it's important. I was an only child. I went through things by myself. I don't think that you have to go through things by yourself, and you must have, I've said this a million times over the years, you must have a trusted community of people that you can talk openly with, and really have friends and find this in your relationship if you can, where you can just really have a day where you just don't feel well, or you don't feel confident, you feel like a failure, you feel like a loser. Those days happen sometimes, and you got to kind of work through that to get to the next level. It's, to me, it's just, it just happens. It keeps you in touch with your humanity and your humility, and even if things are going gangbusters, you always remember what it's like when you're not having, when someone might not be having such a good day or such a gangbuster moment. And especially if you're coaching people, to have a sense of compassion for that, where there is a difference of, you know, you can really be with someone and hold the space for them without taking on the emotions around that. And that's a skill. And that is being very conscious and thoughtful within, especially a coaching relationship, and secondary in any kind of relationship that's very close, where someone is trusting you to be themselves. And then I say, aside from my group, or if you feel safe in other groups, you know, or in my coaching community, I also have a small group coaching that I've been working with a very small group this quarter, which has been wonderful. I love it so much. I love supporting you and helping guide you through this creative journey as an artist. But, you know, enter relationships and collaborations with a little bit of, I don't want to say caution. That's the only word coming to mind, but yeah, don't put all your cards on the table. I don't think that everyone's ready for it. I wish that they were. I wish that we could all be thoughtful and healthy together, but I think there are still some dynamics happening where as much as everyone's touting that we can all be in this together, I don't know that everyone actually feels that way. The fact that they're saying that is very positive and leaning towards that direction, but, you know, there's just sometimes people are speaking and their actions aren't following it. And it's really important to me that mine do. And I'm probably human, so if I've messed up somewhere, I'm truly sorry and forgive me, because I know I haven't been able to do that 100% myself. I have been open with you before about my own competitive nature, and that it's really taken me, I was one of the people that was giving more lip service to that, and it's really taken me growing into myself to grant the space and support and belief in others. And it's still in the same space as me. It still catches me sometimes. It still hooks me. I'm not particularly glad about that, but I know now, oh, it's just coming up so I can continue to let it go. And, you know, I'm not taking that any farther than my home, my home space. Only Sean knows how I feel, and he also knows the work that I'm doing. Pepita and the cats, they know. They know probably even better than Sean. That's it. That's who gets the most of me. But I also, I'll let you know how it goes. My nature is one where I tend to be pretty open. And I think if I didn't finish this thought, the reason that it feels safer in this environment, or quote unquote with strangers, is because you're not attached. You know, where's the saying, I know one of my mentors talked about this before, or I've heard it on various podcasts. If, or no, maybe one of my spiritual teachers, if someone calls you on the phone and says, hi, I'm never ever calling you again, and you don't know who they are and they hang up, it doesn't matter to you. If someone listens to this podcast and they stop the recording and they think, I'm never listening to Maurice again, I don't know, and it doesn't matter to me. But when you are open with, when you're actually open in an intimate sense with a close friendship, collaboration, colleagues, you know, people in your environment, that takes a lot more strength, honestly. I didn't think it did, but now I realize it does. Because when people walk away from that, or they aren't able to handle it, or they don't kind of close the loop on the relationship, if it does come to a pause or an end, it's really painful. And it causes people to, it causes people to shut down and to not be open again. And I always felt like I didn't want to become that person. And I don't fully want to say that I have, but I kind of have. I just won't be giving of myself as much as I once was. And maybe that will not be the wisest choice. I will keep you posted. But to wrap it up in terms of what I would share as a mentor, I would say, I would continue to say that you must find a trusted circle that you can truly be yourself with and feel genuine support with and not feel competition with, really. And I also would say, give it time before you really open up to someone in your close personal space. Give it some time, allow them on, in some ways, to earn that trust, to earn those moments of vulnerability, You know, and maybe even as I say this, maybe I have fire hosed. I really hope I haven't, guys. I hope I haven't fire hosed you if you were a close friend of mine. But, you know, maybe it's wise not to really share too much in the beginning and just allow relationships and friendships and business relationships in particular, because sometimes people's motives just aren't quite what they say. It's a bummer when you realize that, but it can also just be something that they're going to grow out of. And, you know, business gets tricky because people feel like they're in a certain survival mode. Sometimes I have felt that way, and it can get awkward. It really takes a lot of strength. And I do see a lot of beautiful examples of it where people who are in the same industries are really connecting and supporting one another. I certainly hope that I am a part of that as well, but I've also felt burned, not just recently, but many times, for being honest, for sticking up for myself, for sticking up for others in my industry, for being willing to speak out in areas where I feel like the industry is totally unfair, especially when it comes to how artists get paid. And, you know, that I was that person in my 20s. So I probably am not going to be any different. I really appreciate those people who are willing to speak up, and I intend to lean towards that direction. But I am going to be even more conscientious and thoughtful about that. And yeah, then I'm just going to leave it there. And I'm going to let you know that this is in preparation for me becoming more vulnerable. I know I've said it for a while. That just goes to show how it feels so awkward. I'm sure it'll feel fine once I just pull the trigger. Why does it take so much? I don't know. I'm a work in progress, but you know, this particular topic that I will go into, it's deep and it's personal on many levels. So it's a big topic. It's not just your usual conversation. You know, so many women in particular still don't talk about this very openly. And I just feel like life is short. If I can help you, and hopefully this podcast helped you, hopefully I haven't scared you, or maybe you're like, yeah, Marisa, you should have known. You probably should have listened to your mom way back when. No, because the truth is, no disrespect to my mom, she's giving me lots of great advice, but I do believe that the relationships I have, like my primary relationship, you know, it's so close because we've gone there with each other. And I mean, I really feel like in your primary relationship, you've got to have a level of intimacy that is, you know, conversational too. And you just, yeah, you've got to really be there. I feel for one another and be able to feel like you can be yourself. So it's very important to me. And then those kinds of friendships and relationships are incredibly rewarding, because when you do make it through cycles or times or things that you've grown through or you've become better at, wow, it adds so much strength to that relationship. So I do think that being yourself and being vulnerable in the right circumstances with the right people is absolutely worth it. I also believe that sharing in this way, you know, in a thoughtful way in terms of podcasts, and I think it's great and I love it. And I am so thankful to the people who peel back the onion a little or pull back the curtain, whatever metaphor you want to use, and just allow a part of themselves to be revealed. I also am kind of on to the people who are doing it for shameless reasons and just to get attention. Kind of on to that. I think we're going to have to be aware. I told you drama sells, and I have to think about it in terms of communicating so that I can get my message across sometimes, because, you know, people are interested in that. And I think that's another reason why I've really given a ton of thought to beginning to share more on the podcast because I do not want it coming from the wrong place. Like I said, I don't want it to be, oh, I'm not going to share because I'm so worried about what people will think. I also don't want it to be, oh, let me share because I have a feeling a lot of you are going to be listening. And there's a good chance that my audience will grow and that the podcast will grow. And I don't want to be doing it for those reasons, if you know what I mean. It has to be coming from the purest place, because I do think a lot of people, as Exhibit A, reality TV, milk drama because they know it sells and it grows audiences. So only you're going to know your own integrity around that. A lot of people just love reality TV for that reason. We've all sort of adjusted, but it did create a culture seeking that. I mean, look at the cover of most terrible tabloid magazines. Oh my goodness. They were around long before reality TV, right? So just human nature. We are trying to evolve past that. And I hope to be a part of one of those messengers. I just want you to know, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Thank you for staying in the conversation with me. I just want you to really know where I'm coming from, and that at some point I can always reference back to this episode and say, here's where I am on all of this. And let me know. I don't think I gave you any final answers. I just gave you, I don't know if it's safe to be vulnerable. Maybe it is safer for you. It hasn't felt as safe for me. Maybe it hasn't felt safe for you at all and you don't want to. I know a lot of us as artists and introverts tend to struggle with, that's one of the biggest questions, is how much do you share? What do you share? And no, you don't have to go all deep and personal. To me, this still, guys, this might feel deep and personal to you. This is kind of scratching the surface for me. This is a surface deep and personal, but still maybe more deep and personal than some episodes or some podcasts. But this isn't fully there. So, you know, I don't subscribe to going super deep and personal. And I think that is meant for me and the people closest to me. But I do believe in opening up, being transparent, sharing parts of your stories if you feel that it can help someone. And also it is letting it be okay if you would like support and you can ask for that from your community who is there for you. I think that that's really wonderful. People come together in very powerful ways now that we weren't able to do before, and we really let people into struggles that we're experiencing, and we can help each other. And that, again, circling back to the intent behind having an ongoing community and the expanse of artists, you know, I just want it to feel like a safe space. I believe that spaces can feel safe when you do feel that the person leading you has a little bit of vulnerability and that they are opening up to you on some level and just to you. I will say more there sometimes than I will say here, because that's my community and it's private, and I trust the people who have joined the community, and I try to give them even more of a glimpse inside. And so there are steps and stages to opening up. So I think it's good to be open. Maybe we just take the word vulnerable away. Maybe that's been a buzzword. I think it's good to be more open than closed. And I think that wherever you are within that range is probably right for you. I think the part that I resist entirely is glossing over. Can't. Glossing over, small talk. No. Unless my version of openness is this. Here, this will be a nice way to wrap it up. You can also say, I am glossing this over because I do not have the energy, the strength, or the desire to share more with you. Do you see? Do you get it? Just be honest about your choices, where you can be. Don't pretend to be something you're not. That's just the biggest takeaway. That's the biggest takeaway. I guess if I'm going to leave you with my overall thought is just don't be someone that you're not. And yeah, just keep an eye out there. Take good care of you. And one more thought. When someone is open with you and they trust you and they reveal their underbelly, they are exposing the deeper side to themselves. First of all, appreciate and honor the trust that that person is giving to you. Second, really learn how to hold the space for that person and be unconditionally loving with them without judging them, without seeing them revealing their underbelly as a sign of a weakness or as a wound. See if you can really be with them and recognize that just because someone is feeling that in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that they have lost confidence or that they are not able to reach a certain level of success. Don't pass judgment on people that are going through something at any given moment. I think in earlier times or when people are leaning more towards immaturity, that you do that. And you realize that life has many cycles and seasons, and that everybody goes through different ups and downs, and everybody could use support and feel less alone in all different seasons. When things are going gangbusters, when things are feeling particularly challenging, that people will go through ups and downs in all of those moments equally, and they can use the support. And I think what happens is, going to the animal kingdom side of ourselves, is that we will see vulnerability, like this definition, as someone being emotionally wounded instead of being able to hold the space and see them as someone finding their way, and that by sharing it, that is simply what they're doing, is finding their way, and they're asking to grow, and they're asking to heal, and they're asking to go to that next level or take those next steps in their life. And so it's really important, as I realized when I started to say this on the podcast, I was starting to call it a weakness, which just tells me, oh, right, that's essentially what I was conditioned to believe, is that by being really vulnerable and opening up about difficult circumstances or experiences or feelings, that means you're weak. I know we're still coming through that time. And so I just caution all of us to recognize that's not a sign of weakness. I think that's where Brené Brown's message was incredibly powerful and spoke to so many people. It's truly a sign of courage and strength, not to be misinterpreted in another way, or you know, seen as a lack of confidence or an inability to rise past that time. So really remembering to treat those moments with a lot of grace and just understanding. I have personally been also working on just being a better listener and wanting to be, as I've said many times, a better coach. And it's pretty powerful when you're just able to be with someone and listen without even trying to connect and make it about you or interject with your advice or guidance right away, especially when someone's not asking. Can you just be with someone? It's such a powerful offering to hold the space. That's really the best way that I can describe it. So if we can do that more for each other, we'll find our way and it will feel safer to be open and work through those moments that feel delicate and come out the other side. So until next time, friends, I thank you very much for listening and tuning into this whole episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on what vulnerability means to you, if it feels safe to you, if you feel safe sharing it with me privately, or if you would like to share it within a review, whatever feels comfortable. As you know, I am always honored when someone trusts me to share something with me. So I extend that out to you, and I look forward to hearing from you. And have a beautiful week. Until next time, friends. Creative Thursday is recorded and produced by me, Marisa. You can find all things Creative Thursday at creativethursday.com and creativethursdaycourses.com. Be sure to join us live for a really special painting and floral design and creative business retreat weekend in Los Angeles. You can get all the details at creativethursdaycourses.com/floral painting. It's going to be a wonderful, beautiful event. I can't wait, especially because I know that I will get to meet some of you, my podcast listeners, for the very first time. Some of you are joining me and Alyssa, and we're going to create together, and we're going to talk business, and it's going to be fabulous. So be sure to join us sooner rather than later. We're starting to fill up, and this will be a very special and small, intimate event. So I want to make sure that you jump in if you are planning to join us for that weekend in April. So my lovely friend, have a beautiful week, and thank you for listening.